Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Goodness, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 12 through 14. And I've entitled this evening's message, and let's go there right now. I've entitled this evening's message, How Do You Handle Your Afflictions? How do you handle your afflictions? So are we there? Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 through 14. And here we go. Philippians chapter 1. 12 through 14, and the Word of God reads, But I don't want you to know, brothers, that things which happened to me have resulted in advancing the gospel, so that my imprisonments in Christ have become known throughout the entire palace guard and to all the rest. And a great many of the brothers in the Lord, having become confident because of my incarcerations, have dared to speak the Word of God, or the Word without fear. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, you see, Paul, he had always wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel. However, he expected to go as a preacher and not a prisoner. That's right. He was bound up. When he wrote the majority of the epistles, he was bound up. But yet, there was joy in his heart. This was a man of integrity. You got to remember who he was. He was Saul of Tarsus. Okay? He was a persecutor of the church. He was the actual drive-by. Oh, that's right. He would invade the Christians' homes, and he would drag them out and feed them to the lions during the times of the gladiators. Oh, yes. He would burn them at the stake until God came down and knocked him off his beast. And many of us were no different. Many of us had our own agendas in the world. Many of us were on a road, a path of destruction, until Jesus had to come and knock us off our beast. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And God had to blind him and humble him, that he would hear the voice of the Lord. And many of us, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God had to do. He had to humble us. He caused things in our life to take place. And for some of us, they were dramatic. They were drastic. A lot of us came to the end of our rope. But praise God, because God, in his foreknowledge before the foundation of the world, he already knew you. Praise God. He knew the day that you would come, as soon as he's given you eyes to see and ears to hear. That's right. It is God who quickens us that we would be driven to the cross. Let's go right here to the Word of God, and let's look at Acts right here. And Acts 19, 21 through 22. And the Word of God reads, When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through what? Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must also, what? See Rome. He had to go to Rome. Now, let's look at Romans 1:15, though. In Romans 1:15, it says, So as much as in me, I am ready to, what? Preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. In Rome. You see, Paul, he had a heart for those that were going through. He also had a calling to preach the gospel to foreign places where he's never been, that he would enlighten them, that the anointing of God would come and destroy the yokes, and that they would hear truth. and that God would quicken them and they would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, one of the things, though, that Paul had to experience, he experienced on this road many afflictions. Many afflictions. How many at home can honestly say you've experienced some afflictions? Oh, yes. Every day. Every other day. Once a week. Once a month. For some of us, it's a continual time of affliction. And sometimes we do it to ourselves, and sometimes it happens to us. And so, my friends, afflictions and unforeseen events had taken place with Paul. You see, he had an illegal arrest in the temple of Jerusalem. That's right, he did. He was a prisoner in Caesarea for 2 years. And he appealed to Caesar several times. He also was shipwrecked on his way to Rome. And 3 months of waiting on the island of Malta under house arrest. Wow, under house arrest. And so, I want us to see some biblical principles regarding Paul the Apostle. Why? Because we could glean off him. We could understand that it was Paul who had to suffer for the cause of Christ. Now, was it a way of God punishing him? No. No. Let me just say this, my friends. As we journey this life, this called out life by God, God allows the afflictions to come to grow us up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be able to minister to others who are afflicted. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Number one, Paul was not what? Not discouraged, because he knew afflictions were part of the life of a Christian. Yes, he knew that. He knew that. He knew that very well. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament letters to the saints in those regions. And my friends, in his epistles, Paul would always mention his trials and tribulations. His testimonies were to glorify God and to encourage the body of Christ to persevere at all costs for God's glory. Oh, yes. Look what he wrote in 2 Timothy here. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Let's look at this for a moment. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, according to my gospel, in which what? I suffer. Look at that. In which I suffer trouble, like a criminal, even with chains. But the word of God is not bound. Praise God. Praise. Say that with me. The word of God is not bound. Praise God. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. Did you catch that verse 10 right there? Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Paul was sold out. Let me just go here for a moment. Paul was sold out. He cared about the church. He cared about the saints of God. He was a sincere believer. That's right. And you and I, we need to have the same lens that Paul had. There are many in our church. There's many family members and friends that are going through serious affliction, emotional distraught. And we need to be there for them. Can I get an amen in the house? All right, let's go back to God's word. Now, let's look at verse 11 through 13 here. This is a faithful saying. If we die with him, we shall also what? Live with him. And if we endure, we shall also what? Reign with him. That's the key, saints, is to reign with him forevermore. Praise God. And if we deny him, he will what? Also deny us. If we are faithless, here's a key verse in this scripture. He remains faithful. Say that with me. He remains faithful, and he cannot deny himself. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that he cannot deny himself? That's right. Now, as Paul was journeying, and he would go town to town and region to region, look what he wrote to the Thessalonians right here. Let's go here right now. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And look what it says right here. Therefore, say that with me. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it would be good to be left at Athens alone. We sent Timothy, who was our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. What? To establish and to comfort you with regard to your faith. That's what Paul was all about. So that no one would be shaken by what? These afflictions. They were afflicted. They were persecuted. For you know that we are appointed to this. Praise God. My friends, you and I, we're appointed to this call. I hope you know that. Listen, don't run from God. Run toward Him. Can I get an amen? Let God use you in a mighty ways. Why? Because God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has appointed us. He has approved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God has done the miraculous in your life. That's right. He delivered us from drugs and alcohol. He delivered us from all manner of iniquity. God has cleansed us and washed us in His blood. And now we are forever His servant. And we should always be at His beck and call when He says, go here, go there. Preach the word in season and out of season. Hallelujah. Be a light in the midst of darkness. Can I get an amen? Let's go back to God's word here. Look at this. In verse 4. Indeed, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer what? Tribulation. Just as it came to pass, as you well know. For this reason, say that with me, saints at home. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to inquire about your faith. Lest by some means the tempter, who's the tempter? Oh, Slewfoot, might have tempted you, and our labor have been in vain. Wow, wow. Praise God, praise God. You see, Paul wrote his total experience. Paul wrote the tribulations and the trials. He had to. Why? So that you and I, 2,000 years later, would be encouraged that we would hold on to the faith. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what he wrote to the Philippian church right here. Let's look at this. In Philippians 1, 20, 28 through 30, look what the Word of God reads. Do not be frightened by your what? Adversaries. Praise God. This is a sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this from what? God. Don't be afraid, saints. For to you, it was granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for what? His sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me. And now, here is in me. Praise God. Let's go to Philippians 3 and 7. Look at that. The Word of God says, but what things were gained to me, I have counted what? These things to be lost for the sake of Christ. Praise God. Yes, certainly I count everything as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have what? I have forfeited. Check this out. The loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may what? Say that with me at home, saints of God. That I may gain Christ. Praise God. Look at verse 9. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God on the basis of faith. To know Him. Say that with me at home, saints of God. To know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being what? Conformed to His death. If somehow I might take it, look, or make it, to the resurrection of the dead. Praise God. Praise God. You see, Paul understood these deep revelations of God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed to know? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know? Yes, things we will experience in this lifetime. Yes, we will suffer. Yes, we will have to experience afflictions. But that's not the end game. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God will deliver us. God will set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's right. If God be for you, who could be against you? God is our shield and buckler. Hallelujah. God has equipped the saints of God. He has equipped you and I to do a greater works in such a time as this. We are in the last days, my friends. And it's time to rise up in faith. It's time to go and preach the gospel and to win the souls, hallelujah, that are lost and that are perishing. Praise God. We are the last hope before He comes and takes us home. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at our second principle. Paul's experiences contradict the prosperity gospel preached in the church today. Did you catch that, saints of God? Huh? Did you catch that? Oh, yes. Listen, there are so many prosperity gospels. That's right. They'll shake you upside down 3, 4, 5 times before the service ends. And they want to take your last penny. And those who are taking that money are living high on a hog. They do nothing for the church. They don't build the church. They don't bring things that they need for the church. But look what they're driving and look where they're living. That's right. Look what they're wearing. That's right. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about them. They're building their kingdom here on earth. And God is going to have the last say. Can I get an amen in the house? Let's look what Paul wrote or what Luke wrote in the book of Acts. Look at this. Now, compelled by the Spirit, look at this. Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But none of these things deter me, praise God. Nor do I count my life of value to myself, so that I may what? Joyfully finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus. This should be our testimony, saints of God. What? To testify to the gospel of the grace. That's what it's all about. It's not about, oh, I want to have a rose garden here on this earth that we can live on Sugar Hill. No. It's about learning to die to self. It's about learning to lay aside every weight and sin that God so easily put before us, because those weight and sin will beset us. But the Bible says we need to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, somebody got to praise Him right now. Somebody got to give Him glory right now. Somebody got to be thankful what He's doing in your life. Hallelujah. Many of you, God has delivered. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Now, look what Paul wrote here to the Corinthian church. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 28. The Word of God reads, are they servants of Christ? Look at this. This is Paul's testimony right here. I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered, what? Shipwreck. Wow! And night and day I have been in the deep. Look at this. In journeys, and often in perils of water. Oh my gosh. In perils of what? By my own countrymen. His own countrymen turned his back on him. In perils by the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among what? False brethren. That's right. Wannabe Christians. Brother, brother, and sister so-and-so. Never been born again. All they want to do is sow discord amongst the brethren. They have no conviction about the things and the holy things of God. Look at verse 27. In weariness and painfulness, look at this, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. Paul suffered. Look at this, verse 28. Beside the external things, the care of all the churches, what? Pressures me daily. Wow. Daily. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Paul is letting us know right now that no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, if he can endure that type of suffering, guess what? So can you and I, through the power and the anointing of God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at our third point right here. Every affliction we suffer is an investment that God is making in us. Did you catch that, saints of God? Huh? Did you catch that? You see, saints, even when we afflict ourselves, God makes a way through His Word to help bring us out through our trials and tribulations. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Why? Because He has His investment, which is in you and I. And there's a way of escape. Why? For the perseverance of the saints. Praise God. Praise God. God has a way that you and I cannot see. I don't care what predicament you get yourself in. Whether it's yourself or it's been done to you. God has a way of escape. That's right. But stay humble before Him. That's right. Be in prayer. Exalt Him and magnify Him. And thank Him for your trial. Can I get an amen? But a lot of times we want to go, oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. No. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Honor the King. Love Him. Be sold out for Christ. And watch Him do the miraculous. The miraculous in your life. You know, King David understood these things. That's right. Let's go there right now in the book of Psalms. Let's look at this. In Psalms 32, 1 through 7. And the Word of God says, blessed. Say that with me. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not what? Impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Look at what he wrote in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all what? All the day long. Look at this. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Look at this in verse 6 and 7. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be what? Found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near me. Verse 7. You are my hiding place. Say that with me. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of what? Deliverance. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, there are times when you have to just lift up your hands and praise Him and say, God, thank you. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you, O God, for nourishing me. Thank you, God, for supplying all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, hallelujah, that when I became ill, you were my healer. Thank you, oh God, hallelujah, when I had no place of a home, Lord, you provided a place. Thank you, God, when I had no wheels and you provided a vehicle for me, oh God. Thank you, Lord, when I didn't have a wife and you provided me a godly, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled wife. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many can say you love Jesus? Come on. Give Him praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this principle. Let's look at this fourth principle right here. If the Lord did not permit troubles in our lives, that would be the worst form of what? Rejection. Did you catch that? It would be. It would be the worst form of rejection. Now, saints of God, Job, you know Job, not Job, but Job, he said it best. He said it best in the book of Job. Let's go there. Look at this. He said it like this. Man who is born of woman is of a few days and what? Full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees what? Like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who could bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And Job said, no one. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. That's right. And Paul, what this narrative and what this theme's all about, he understood past failures. You know that. He understood past failures as a persecutor of the faith. But once he became saved, he said it best. Look what he said here in Philippians right here. Let's look at this for a moment. Look what Paul wrote. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, praise God. And none of us can claim that as well. Can I get an amen? But look what he says. But I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. And then he went on to say in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, say that with me, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press, say that with me at home, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints of God, this should be your agenda with Christ. It's to press, it's to love, it's to serve, it's to glorify, it's to stay humble. Hallelujah. And tell others that Jesus is soon to come. Can I get an amen? Well, we're going to look at another principle right here. Let's go here. Number five. Look at this. Some Christians forever stay in kindergarten. What? Where the tests, look at this, are easier to endure. What? That's right. You see, people like to just drink milk. They don't like to get into serious Bible studies. Why? Because a lot of them, well, I can't read. Or a lot of them, oh, man, this is too hard. No. You got to let go and let God. Can I get an amen? You got to learn to surrender. Say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, God, teach me your ways. Teach me your precepts. Teach me, oh, God, the way I should go. The Bible says that if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will what? Direct our path. That's right. We're not to lean to our own understanding, but we're to acknowledge him in all that we do. Can I get amen? Look what the book of Hebrews says right here. Let's go there right now. Hebrews 12, 5 through 13. Look what God's word says right here. Praise God. And you have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as what? Sons. Did you catch that? My son, do not despise the discipline from the Lord, nor grow weary when you are rebuked by him. That's right. Sometimes we will get rebuked for our own silliness and foolishness. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he what? He disciplines and scourges every son from whom he what? Receives. Look at verse 7. Endure discipline. Praise God, praise God. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not what? Discipline. Look at this. If you are without discipline, in verse 8, of which everyone has partaken, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The King James Version says that you are what? Bastards. What? Oh, I'm not saying a curse word up here. That's King James. If you have King James Version, look it up. Look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers, and they corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Look at verse 10. For they indeed, what, disciplined us for a short time, according to their own judgment. But he does so for our profit, that we may partake of his what? Holiness. Praise God. Praise God. Now look at this. Now, no discipline seems to be joyful at the time, but grievous. Yes. No one wants to go to the whooping shed. Let me just say this. I've been to the whooping shed many times and I don't like it there. But guess what? It was good for me. It was good for me. Hallelujah. Yet afterward, look at this. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness in those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame go out of joint, but rather be healed. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Listen, We got two more points we want to cover. Let's go there now. Let's look at number six. God will use what? Afflictions to bring us into a place of abundant fruitfulness. Did you catch that? Hallelujah. Let me just ask you this. If you went to the store to go buy some apples, wouldn't you love to get those juicy, ripe, red apples? Or would you rather get the ones that have all kinds of bruises? You see a little worm protruding out of one? No. We want the nice fruit, don't we? Well, God wants us to produce fruit in our life. He wants to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is the fruit? What is it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But man, if you're walking around like a sourpuss, like you just ate a saladito, where is the joy? Where is the love? Where is it at? You see, we need to be fruitful in our walk with Christ. Look what it says here in Psalms. I want to go there real quick. Let's look at Psalm 66, 8 through 12. Look what the Word of God says. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to slip. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed He's watching over us? For you, O God, have proved us. You have refined us. Silver is refined. Look at this. In verse 11 and 12, you brought us into the net. You placed distress on our backs. You have allowed people to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into a well-watered place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints of God, many of us have journeyed through this Christian life. Many of us had different fellowships that we joined, and now God has brought us to the well of amazing grace. God is pouring out living water there. Hallelujah. It's a watering well where we're at. And it's only but the grace of God. Hallelujah. Lord, there's many small fellowships like ours throughout the nation. Many of them where God has us strategically as a water well. Hallelujah. He didn't put Ichabod on the front door. And you know what that means? That means where God has departed. He's no longer there. Only man is running it. But hallelujah, God has placed His Spirit within us. Can I get amen? The anointing of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the Word of God is high and lifted up. Hallelujah. We invite the Spirit of God in our place. We invite God, hallelujah, to rule and reign in our lives. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. We don't close the door on Him. We invite Him in as we worship and praise the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because we need Jesus. We need Him every moment. I hope you know that. Praise God. Now, we're going to look at our last principle right here. Let's look at this. Number seven. God needs what? His seasoned veterans like Paul. That's you and I, saints of God. Look at this. He needs His seasoned veterans like Paul to show His faithfulness to their generation. Wow. Wow. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? God's using you. God's using me. And God doesn't want to quit using us. Why? Until He comes for us. And so, saints, never think that you're too old and not useful for the kingdom of God. Well, King David wanted to be used all the way to the very end of his entire life. That's right. That's right. Look what he wrote here in Psalms. This is King David. Look what he wrote. In Psalm 71, 15 through 21, it says, my mouth will what? Declare your righteousness. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. For I cannot know their numbers. Look at this. Your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I cannot know their numbers. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Say that with me at home. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth until now. I have proclaimed your what? Wondrous works. Look at this. Verse 18, look at this. Now also when I am old and gray. Oh God, do not forsake me until I have proclaimed. Look at this. Your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who has come to me. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heights. You have done great deeds, O God. Who is like you? Who is like you? Look at this. In verse 20 through 21, you, look at this. You who have shown me great distresses and troubles will revive me again. And I will bring me up. Look at this. And I will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You, say that with me at home. You will increase my greatness and you will encircle and what? Comfort me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so as we come in for a close, saints of God, how we act during our afflictions has everything to do with the results. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Look at this for a moment. Look at this. We waste afflictions by whining, murmuring, and complaining. What? In the present. Saints of God, that should not be mentioned of us. Hallelujah. We need to journey in this power and the anointing of God. This is the reason every test Israel experienced in the wilderness was what? It was wasted on them. Look at this. Number two, look at this. We waste afflictions when we do not remember deliverances in the past. Oh, my friends, God is saying, do not forget. Do not forget. Do not forget, hallelujah, what God has done for you and I. We must testify. We must witness. We must glorify God, how God delivered us, hallelujah, in the wilderness, how God has raised us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God has strengthened you. God has blessed you. God has given you second chances and third chances. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You see, my friends, when David stood before Goliath, he rehearsed his past victories with the bear and the lion. He reminded that big old brute, you come to me in spears, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what you have to tell your enemy. You have to look at your situation. You may come with me in spears. You may come with me with an onslaught of ungodliness. But I come back to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give them praise. Somebody got to give them glory. Somebody got to say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For he is worthy, 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 worthy to be praised. Praise God, praise God. Now, let's look at this. Number three here. We waste afflictions when we do not see God's purpose in the future. Did you catch that? Just because you can't see it right now, you think, oh, God hasn't heard my cry. God hasn't heard my affliction. He hasn't seen what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he has. He's allowing it to strengthen you. You see, my friends, God brings us through so we can teach others, sharing God's faithfulness with them. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this. Number four, look at this. God is preparing you to be a veteran of what? Spiritual warfare. That's right. Some of you don't even have a prayer life. That's right. Some of you don't. Did you know that? Some of you don't have a prayer life. Some of you never take time out to meditate with God. Well, God wants to do something mighty. God wants to do something great in your life. All you have to do is humble yourself and make the time for God. And God will show you great and mighty things. He will reveal all the mysteries to you. That's right. Look what Paul wrote right here in Philippians. Let's go there. Look at this. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it. Complete it. In the day of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, Jesus is soon to come. He is soon to come. Soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we are almost out of here. How many believe that we're almost out of here? I do. I want to believe that. I want to believe that Jesus is going to come in the clouds. Look at that. Look right there, in between the screen and behind me. Look at the clouds in the background. Guess what? Jesus is going to come in the clouds. Praise God. He will not touch this earth. And the Bible's clear that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. My friends, I'm here to let you know that God is coming back for His bride. You and I, the born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, water baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is preparing His bride to come for us, to take us home. Look what it says in the Word of God. Let me prove that to some of you that are listening maybe for the first time. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church on his way toward Ephesus and those regions. He says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope." You see, there were people that had died, and a lot of them had no hope in the living God. But I'm here to let you know there is hope in Christ. Can I get an amen? And if your loved one has died, you will see him again in eternity. Let's go back to God's Word. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." In other words, those who have passed on. Praise God, praise God. Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Verse 16. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with the shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will" what? "Rise first." Look at verse 17. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be" what? "Caught up." "Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18. "Therefore, frighten one another." No. Comfort. Comfort one another, my friends. Comfort. God wants us to be comforted knowing He's coming. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. That's right. How many of you could honestly say that you're ready? That you're ready. You're ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. He betrothed us. And He promises. The Bible says He went away to prepare a place for you and I. And that when He comes to those clouds, that we would be there as well. And then He's going to whiz us away to heaven and celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's right. I want you to see this mystery that has been revealed. It's in the Gospels. And I hope you enjoy just a moment, a depiction of Jesus coming back for His bride, which is us, the bride of Christ. Let's go there for right now.
The wait is over, and the groom is finally on his way to be united with his bride. As they move through the town streets, trumpets blare loudly to not only wake the bride, but also the guests that were invited to the wedding feast. Only those that were prepared could quickly rise and join the concession.
Bridegroom and his groomsmen now exit the house. They go out of the compound, begin to serpentine through the streets of the village until finally they come near the bride's house. And as the bride comes into view, what a shockingly beautiful scene it must be. There in the middle of the night, you have a row of women with the bride in the middle, all the bridesmaids dressed in their white linen robes. And in the center, the bride dressed in her beautiful bridal gown.
After a year of preparing and waiting, they are finally together again. Reunited as one forever.
the parade led by the bridegroom now rush up towards the bride and her family and all the people that are standing there, the bridesmaids, and the two men with the litter set the litter down on the ground in front of the bride. And she very, very modestly steps out onto the litter and she lowers herself down.
The bride did not simply follow her groom back to the father's house, but she was lifted into the air. In fact, the ancient Galileans referred to this moment as flying the bride to the father's house.
She's lifted up off the ground. She's escorted with him back to that place of preparation. It speaks, it shouts all about God's grace. It's not her effort. She was just to be ready because she loves him. She's borne aloft. She's taken away with him. It's all about the grace of God. It's about the grace of God from the beginning all the way through to now to the end.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that awesome? You see, when Jesus comes, we're going to be flown in the air back to the Father's house. But the Bible's clear. We are not going to enter into heaven with flesh and blood. So something radical has to happen. We need to be changed, and we need to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul had to further explain this in the book of Corinthians, Chapter 15. Let's go there. Let's look at this. He wrote this. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. So my friends, my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Have you repented of your sins? Have you cried out to ask God to wash you and to forgive you and to cleanse you by the blood of the Lamb? Have you received this Holy Spirit? The Bible says that you must be born again. Have you received God's grace? Have you received the power of God? Have you been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? My friends, it's time to be ready, because if you're not ready, do not let this happen to you. Take a look at this right now.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come.
Wow, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King? Or are you going to be left behind? Those were the wannabe Christians. Those were the ones that were playing church. Those ones that fell on their face after the rapture took place. They should have got serious about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm here to let you know that you can be ready. All you have to do is repent. You see, in the Word of God, there is a place in the book of Acts that gives us the key on how we get right with God. And let's look at this for a moment. It's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. This is the Peter, the apostle. And remember, he was scaredy-cat. Peter, he denied Jesus three times, but he was in the upper room when Jesus told all his disciples, 120 of them, to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. And they all went up there, men and women, even including Jesus' mother, Mary, was there. And on the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were there with one accord and with one mind. And then the Holy Spirit came in to that place like a rushing mighty wind. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and clothed in tongues were upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and power. And Peter rose up. He rose up with authority. He rose up with power and anointing. He was no longer afraid, but he was bold for Christ. And the people down below, because it was on a festival day, it was on the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk, but yet it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he came down and he had to preach to them. And look what he preached. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall," didn't say maybe, didn't say might, "you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, my friends. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God wants to do the miraculous in your life. Oh, yes, He does. Listen, my friends, are you ready? Are you truly ready? Listen, I want to lead you into a prayer right now of repentance. And I want you to cry out, ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you, to wash you. And it's all done by faith. And so, if you're there listening, please don't turn this off. God's speaking to you right now. God's calling you. God loves you. He really, really loves you. And He's long-suffering. He's patient. And if you're there watching, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Now remember, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll save you. So pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I've been a sinner all my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. Somebody just got saved. Somebody just renewed their self to the Lord Jesus Christ. A backslider just came back. I'm here to let you know that God loves you. And listen, we love you too. And we want to send you a Bible. Down below, you'll see right there, if you need prayer, that's our website as well. You can log into our website and you can reach us. Also, we want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to the right direction. You may be living here locally in San Diego County. We'd like to point you to a Bible-believing church that preaches the full counsel of God. Oh, yes. And if it's at Amazing Grace, which I believe it is, you're welcome to join us. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road, Bonita, California. That's right. And my gosh, we're having a wonderful time in church. I decided not to stream anymore at 5 p.m. because it would be a repeat. But I want to encourage you to come out Sunday morning and pray that God will provide a secondary camera and that we can live stream live from that 10:30 morning service. if it's God's will, it becomes his bill. And because if it's God's vision, it will be his provision. And so you can also log in and download this message. There's a link to this YouTube video. You can download our PowerPoint with all the videos that you saw, and my sermon notes and an MP3 playback of this message. And so I'm so blessed. I'm so very thankful for each and every one of you that have pressed out to come and be in front of your phones or in front of your television to allow the Word of God be spoken to you. And so, my friends, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your donations. And by the way, if you feel led, you can also go to our website and there's a donate button and you can donate to our ministry. Donations are deeply appreciated. And so before I sign off, I want to send out a blessing to your home, to each and every one of you. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.